is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft, just returned from the South Caucasus, a region of the world that has been unsettled at least since the end of the Soviet Union, not now getting the attention it deserves because of the war in Ukraine. However, that is not going to last forever, and the South Caucasus will be back in front of everyone to solve the conflict between Azerbaijan and Armenia, and then the conflict between Russia and Georgia over the breakaway provinces of Abkhazia and South Ossetia. Anatole, welcome home from the South Caucasus. I begin in Yerevan. We had a conversation, a very happy conversation, your time there. You reported that the streets were filled with young people. You heard lots of Russian, lots of economic activity. But the unsettled dispute with Azerbaijan, the brief conflict, which was very violent in later 2020, where is that story now, given that Ukraine has overwhelmed everything this last year?
Well, Russian peacekeepers are still preserving, you know, what's left of Armenian Nagorno-Karabakh. But the region is under Azeri partial blockade. So the situation there is pretty dire. And it's clear that what the Azerbaijani government is trying to do is basically to strangle Nagorno-Karabakh into surrender, into returning to being an autonomous province of Azerbaijan. Now, the Armenian government, in unprecedented fashion, has actually suggested that it will accept this on principle. But of course, it's looking for security guarantees for the Armenian population of Nagorno-Karabakh, which nobody internationally is willing to provide, and which the Azeris are, of course, not willing to allow Armenia to provide. So at the moment, things are once again stalemated, but you know, most of the cards are now in Azerbaijan's hands, particularly because, of course, with the Russian army so pinned down in Ukraine, it's not at all clear that Russia would, in fact, be able to reinforce its peacekeepers or, you know, be able to fight against a renewed Azeri attack. On the other hand, of course, the Azeris do also have to be somewhat cautious. America, of course, has a huge Armenian diaspora. Nancy Pelosi underlined that when she visited Nagorno-Karabakh last year, which has considerable political influence. France is very interested for the same reason. Iran is behind the scenes, a strong backer of Armenia. And then Azerbaijan's strongest backer is Turkey. The Azeris and the Turks are very closely related. But of course, Turkey is in a very complicated position itself now. While it has asserted itself against both the West and Russia, I think Turkey, under the government of Erdogan, would be cautious about backing an Azerbaijani move that might lead to increased hostility to Turkey from both Russia and the United States. So it's a very, very complicated situation. But to be honest, I mean, compared to how it was in the 90s, when the population of Yerevan was passionately engaged in the war in Nagorno-Karabakh, it doesn't feel like that anymore. I mean, they are, of course, supportive, but you know, in Yerevan, you really have the impression of a city which is now dedicated to economic growth and enjoyment more than to the great, cause of Armenian nationalism.
Then we move to immediately Tbilisi. We cannot settle Yerevan and Baku and Ankara. Can we settle Tbilisi? Now, my visit was 17 and 18, out of date now. I'm told that the city is enjoying prosperity, but at the same time, it's a country that has been fragmented by the conflict in 2008. There were NATO representatives there when I visited, staying at the hotel. They talked of exercises in the mountains. Is Georgia seeking NATO membership or some relationship with NATO to avoid the problem that is going on in Ukraine?
Well, yes. I mean, the Georgian government is seeking that. The Georgian opposition accuses them of, you know, only pretending to seek it and secretly, you know, working together with Russia. Supporters of the government are, I think, pretty skeptical about whether NATO would in fact save them in the event of a new war with Russia. After all, you know, as they point out, after so many American half commitments and half promises, the United States did not save them in 2008. You know, along with very strong Georgian nationalism, there is also a considerable mood of pragmatism and caution, I think, among most of the Georgian population, simply because, you know, well, they lost two wars. Although in the opposition, I found, well, the opposition as a whole stands for, you know, much stronger help, Georgian help to Ukraine and sending Georgian volunteers for Ukraine, I have to say that nobody I talked to, nobody said that Georgia should go to war with Russia, you know, to open a second front against Ukraine in Abkhazia and South Ossetia, because they're afraid of a repetition of what happened in 2008 when they tried that before. As several Georgians said to me, you know, well, the Ukrainians didn't help us in 2008, and, you know, we should not commit suicide for them in 2023. And I think that's a very, very widespread feeling in Georgia. Now, that said, I mean, if the Russian army were completely defeated in Ukraine, or if, you know, there were civil war in Russia itself, then I think the Georgians would feel that they had no choice but to attack again. But I don't think in present circumstances, I came, you know, I was quite reassured that I don't think that a new war there is very likely.
Is there reason to think of Georgia as a place that Putin wants to reacquire for his understanding of greater Russia? Or is Georgia always, has Georgia always been outside of Imperial Russia?
Well, Georgia was, of course, part of Imperial Russia from the end of the 18th century and was then part of the Soviet Union. But Russians have never thought that Georgians were one people in the way that, you know, so many Russians, including Putin, basically think that Russians and Ukrainians are one people. I mean, everybody knows that the Georgians, though they are Christian Orthodox, speak a totally different language, have a very different culture, have a quite different history. And so, no, I don't think that there is any desire to conquer Georgia. There is, of course, a desire to hold on to Abkhazia and South Ossetia, and also to preserve, you know, Russian overflight rights over Georgia to supply, you know, the Russian forces in Armenia, which is an ally of Russia. But as long as, as long as the Georgians don't attack again, and as long as the Georgians don't join Azerbaijan in blockading Armenia, my own view is that Russia will not start anything there. Apart from anything else, of course, the Russian army is far too occupied in Ukraine now. But also, I do not think that Georgia figures in the Russian mind or Putin's mind in anything like the same way that that Ukraine does.
Speaking with Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft, he's just returned from the South Caucasus, chiefly Yerevan and Tbilisi. We're headed now to the Black Sea Basin and what we know of the collapse of the grain deal. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Battle.